This is a re-recording of the sermon that was delivered at First United Methodist Church on Sunday, September 6th. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 21. As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command you, I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because everything I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit could last. As a result, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, we're going to draw to a close our sermon series that we've had this summer on the gospel according to Pixar. I want to share with you that every time I do a sermon series of this type, I'm reminded of the many ways that culture, whether intentional or not, can help influence, illustrate, or at least reinforce the gospel of Jesus Christ. The movies I know do not set out to do this when they begin to create them or make them or film them. I know they don't intentionally try to communicate the gospel truth, but in their animation, we can often see the gospel truth illustrated. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at a movie that was released in the theaters in the summer of 2019. This movie was the fourth in the series of the Toy Story movies. And I have to share with you something that I found that was interesting as I began preparing for this sermon and reading about this movie. I was surprised at the number of articles that started with the author beginning their review, not with the movie, but beginning their review with how they were cautiously optimistic or hesitant as they went to watch this movie. And for most, the reason of their hesitancy or their cautious optimism was not that this movie was Toy Story, but their hesitancy was that this movie was the fourth in the Toy Story series. And so basically, they were hesitant or cautiously optimistic, depending on how you want to look at it. They were there because the other three Toy Stories had done such a good job in telling a story and presenting a story that they were just a little worried that the fourth one was not going to be able to maintain that level that we have gotten used to. But fortunately for us, as we've seen in many of the Pixar films, they continue to present a great story, and this one also maintains that level and is a good one to watch. So for us to begin this morning in looking at the Toy Story 4 movie, I think we need to first take a moment to learn about the history of something that we're going to see in a minute that plays an important part in the movie. That something, as you can see on the screen, is the spork. That's right, the spork. While there have been many variations of specialized eating utensils throughout history, as people have created different forks and spoons and other things for certain types of food, the spork, as we know it today, was first patented in 1874 by a man named Dr. Samuel W. Francis. Francis was a doctor, a novelist, a society man, an idea man, and a philanthropic person when it came to predatory birds in the United States. And his first spork patent was actually a little different than the one that you and I are used to, because it was a patented knife slash spoon slash fork combination all in one utensil. Interestingly enough, the actual word spork did not officially get recognized as a word until 1909. And the first trademark of the spork was actually in 1970. And if you think about where you have used a spork, my guess is many of us remember a spork being used with the Kentucky Fried Chicken to eat mashed potatoes and gravy. Because KFC was the first chain in the United States to offer sporks to its customers. And so this movie this morning starts with a reminiscing or a looking back of the years of Woody and Buzz and the other toys of Toy Story as they spent time with their first person, who was Andy. If you remember with me in Toy Story 3, Andy went to college and he was old enough to go to college. And so he gave his toys, Woody and Buzz and Jesse and all of the others, to a little girl next door who was named Bonnie. And so the actual movie begins with Woody and the rest of the toys in Bonnie's closet one morning. They're waiting for Bonnie to finish breakfast so they can begin their day playing with her. When Bonnie enters the room, she comes in to play with all her toys, grabs the one she wants, and then here's where we see the first crisis of identity because she leaves Woody in the closet with her other forgotten toys. This is an identity crisis for Woody. It's a crisis because he was Andy's favorite toy, and now Bonnie has left him in the closet, and in a short time, Bonnie's parents come and tell her it's time for her to go to kindergarten. And then they say, you're not able to take any toys with you. And so Bonnie's scared. And Woody talks to the other toys, saying, someone needs to go with her. And they say, no, we're not allowed to go. And so Woody secrets himself away in her backpack. And he's taken to school with her. And so I'd like to show you the first clip, or to play for you the first clip of Bonnie when she goes to kindergarten.
Just for you.
Okay, class. Let's all find a seat at a table so we can start craft time. On the first day of school, you'll need a place to put your pencils. So today, we're going to make pencil holders. Now everyone take a cup, and we'll use the art supplies to decorate them.
As we watched in the video clip, at school, Bonnie arrives to her classroom and she is scared as she sits down to make a craft project along with her classmates, where they're supposed to make a pencil holder out of a cup and decorate it with their name and other things. And another little boy comes and takes her supply tray. And so we see Woody watching from her backpack as he springs into action to make sure Bonnie has some crayons and other supplies that he gets out of the trash. He also puts a spork, pipe cleaners, popsicle sticks, glue, and some googly eyes that he finds in the trash can as well on the table for her. Bonnie looks back and sees these supplies and makes herself a new toy out of the spork, pipe cleaners, popsicle stick, and the googly eyes, and she writes the name, and she gives the toy the name Forky as she writes her name on the bottom of his popsicle feet. They return home following the day, and Woody tells the other toys that Bonnie has made herself a new friend, and he introduces the other toys to Forky, who, as we will see throughout the movie, or at least the beginning of the movie, Forky has a real identity crisis of his own, just as Woody's does. Except Forky's is different. Forky's can't see the value that Bonnie is placing in him. He can't see or recognize the love that she is showering upon him. And so whenever Forky has a chance, he calls himself trash as he makes a beeline for the trash can in Bonnie's room, with Woody chasing after him to pull him out of the trash because he knows that Bonnie is going to need Forky. The next day, the toys are taken on a road trip with Bonnie and her parents in a rented RV. Along the way, Woody is constantly watching Forky, who still tries to find ways to place himself in the trash. Whether it was in the RV or in the rest stops or in gas stations or even in overlooked of mountain overlook places where they've pulled off to see the scenery. You see Woody chasing Forky. Forky running for a trash can, Woody capturing him, bringing him back, and Bonnie picking him back up. And so I want to show you one more clip where eventually Forky declares, "I'm not a toy, I'm a spork, I'm used, and I'm trash," before he jumps out the window. Here, let's watch it for a moment.
Where's Forky?
Forky! Forky!
I am not a toy. I'm a spork.
Be quiet.
I was made for soup, salad, maybe chili, and then the trash. I'm litter! Freedom!
Pam, how far to our next stop?
5.32 miles, give or take.
I can make that. I'll meet you at the RV park. Woody, hold on a minute. Woody!
Forky, where are you?
Carry me?
No.
Why do I have to be a toy?
Because you have Bonnie's name written on the bottom of your sticks.
Why do I have Bonnie's name written on the bottom of my sticks?
Because she... Look, she plays with you all the time, right?
Yes.
And who does she sleep with every night?
The big white fluffy thing?
No, not her pillow. You. All right, Forky, you have to understand how lucky you are right now. You're Bonnie's toy. You are going to help create happy memories that will last for the rest of her life.
Huh? What?
Oh, yeah. Hey. Oh, okay. Doing it for Bonnie. Doing this for Bonnie. Doing it for Bonnie. Okay. Like it or not, you are a toy. Maybe you don't like being one, but you are one nonetheless, which means you are going to be there for Andy when he...
Who's Andy?
I mean, Bonnie. You have to be there for Bonnie. That is your job.
Well, what's your job?
Well, right now, it's to make sure you do yours.
Carry me?
No!
Who's Andy?
Andy was my other kid.
You had another kid?
Yeah, for a long time. It was pretty great. I was a favorite toy, actually. Running the room was my job. K keeping all the toys in place.
So he thought Andy's room was a planet? Wow, that is messed up.
Right, that's exactly what I thought when he first showed up.
I mean, how is that not annoying?
Thank you.
So as you could see from the video, or as you heard from the video, Woody and Forky are walking along together after Forky has made what I think is my favorite movie in the line, where he says, "I'm not a toy. I am a spork. I'm used for soup, salads, maybe even chili. And then I'm used and I'm thrown away. I'm trash," as he jumps out the window. And so Woody quickly looks to see where they are at in terms of reaching their destination, and he realizes the distance is close, so he jumps out of the window, yelling at the other toys that he will meet them there once he gets Forky. Friends, this is a turning point in the movie when Woody and Forky are walking to town, and Woody tries to understand why Forky considers himself who he is as trash. And Woody begins to share his own experiences with Andy, who was his first child that he was a toy for, with Forky. And so Woody shares the fun that he had with Andy. He also shares how he was given to Bonnie by Andy when Andy went off to college. And as they talk, the two toys begin to understand each other in a deeper way, and they both begin to wrestle with their own crisis of identity. With Woody, it is that he's no longer needed the way he used to be. With Forky, it's realizing that he is needed in a whole different way than he had ever realized for himself. And so as they talk, Woody begins to share his experiences. And as he does so, he realizes that Bonnie doesn't need him the same way that Andy did. And then Forky's crisis is, it's reversed of Woody's, isn't it? Because he realizes that he is more than trash. And it's not because of who he is or how he sees himself, but he realizes that Bonnie's love for him gives him far greater purpose and identity than he himself could ever imagine having or being by just being a utensil. See, I have to share with you this morning, without giving everything away and without taking away the end, for those of you that have not seen it and are planning on it, because you should. But I think that this is a movie is a tremendous way in getting us to think about how a movie can intersect and illustrate Christian faith. And there are a multitude of examples. There's quite a few that we could look at. We could look at Forky discovering his identity and his purpose. We can talk, as we've done in another movie on Toy Story 3, about what it means to be unique and what it means to be known by name. We can even talk about what it means to be a community and to practice discipleship with one another. However, what jumps out at me this week as I've thought about this movie and watched it and read the scriptures is the way that this movie illustrates what it means for us as followers of Christ to sacrifice ourselves for others. See, Woody has to realize in his own identity crisis that Forky is Bonnie's toy in the same way that he was the toy for Andy. So as part of his dealing with his own crisis, he realizes that he wants Forky to have the same experiences that he had with Andy. He wants to make sure that Forky is cared for. And at first, it wasn't because he cared necessarily for Forky the toy, or he really even had a relationship with him. But the initial reason that Woody cared for Forky and kept rescuing him is because he knew how much Forky meant to Bonnie, the little girl that he was the toy for. And so as Forky saw himself as trash, Woody wanted him to see that he was not, and that he was something because of the love that Bonnie had for him. Woody was willing to sacrifice himself and his position in order to make sure that Forky was not lost to Bonnie or even thrown away. And so without giving the end of the movie away, Woody was willing and he was able to step back himself in order to make sure that the other toys had the opportunity to have a relationship with children that he had with Andy. And so it ties into our scripture this morning, because we're reading from John chapter 15. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus has been teaching the disciples of the ways that they're to act toward one another and the ways that they are to be identified as followers of him. And so he tells them that they are to love as God loved them, and that they are to realize that being a part of a community of faith means considering one another as friend and considering one another as family, and realizing that there are bonds there that Christ lays out for us. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus says, "No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends." See, I think at the time that Jesus delivered that verse, I think the disciples had no idea of what he meant when he was talking about that. What did he mean when he talked about having a greater love, a love that was so great that one would lay down his life for those he cared for and for those he loved? Now, we obviously have the benefit of 2,000 years of Christian thought and teaching, and we know what happened. But see, Jesus gave this statement, this teaching, to the disciples, not for them necessarily to understand at the time, but he gave it to them because he needed them to understand it. As they looked through the crucifixion, and as they experienced the resurrection, he offered it to them so that they would understand the love, the depth of love that he has for them and for us. So that they would realize that in everything that happened, that it wasn't coincidence, that it wasn't chance, that it wasn't Jesus being caught up in the moment and being used and taken without control. What he wanted them to see was that what had happened to him was part of God's plan. So that when the disciples experienced the betrayal, the trial, and the crucifixion of Jesus, they could truly understand what he meant when he told them this message before. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for friends. Now see, Luke in his teaching also recognized the depth of sacrifice that Jesus made out of his love for us. He touches on this in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35, where he talks about it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Because Luke was able to see the depth of love that Jesus had for those, for all of us who follow him, in the way that he offered himself up for this. And he was also able to see that the way that we, as followers of Jesus Christ today, are able to model his love and his life in our own lives is through the way that we offer ourselves to others. As we realize and as we remember the blessing it is for us to offer ourselves to other people. I mean, we're fortunate that we're not called to, well, not called, that currently in this time, in this place, we're not in a place where we have to physically offer our lives at the same level of Jesus. However, what we can do is know the feeling that we receive and know the assurance that we receive when we offer ourselves to others. See, there's this own identity crisis that we have when we become followers of Jesus Christ. For Woody, it was realizing that he was no longer Andy's favorite toy, that he was no longer needed by Bonnie in the same way that Andy had needed him. For Forky, it was realizing that he wasn't trash, and that Bonnie's love for him made him a toy that was needed and that was loved. And see, our identity crisis is that when we become followers of Jesus, we realize that becoming a follower of Jesus means giving ourselves up so that he may be glorified so that others might know him, and so that God will work in and through our lives, not for our glory, but for his own. Amen.